Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you rooting for Dez to do well in New Orleans? Do you want him to succeed?
No.
Individually and with the team. And Kevin's already out, and we'll get to why he hates Dez so much in just a moment. Guys, it's not official yet, but March, there is a boxing match going down, and I'd like to take a little ownership of this one. This is pretty awesome because Errol Spence is going to be fighting at AT&T Stadium. Now, Kevin, I know you got a chance to sneak in there while G-Bag was talking with Errol Spence, and I did too. Man, that room was packed, and it was awesome to see all those people standing around listening to this guy because he's about to be a superstar boxer.
And this is a fight that we had talked about a couple of weeks ago when the buzz about this started is Mikey Garcia. And this is going to be the first pay-per-view for both of them. And what's interesting is...
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Is Mikey Garcia is moving up a couple of weight classes, but he's undefeated, and Errol Spence is obviously undefeated. So I always think that's a cool dynamic. Even though sometimes boxers can pad their records, I think it's a cool dynamic when you get undefeated fighter against undefeated fighter. Mikey Garcia was a champ at 135 pounds with the WBC. He's going to bounce up a little bit to fight Errol Spence. I'll be really fascinated to see what the crowd is like there, because if they can get... I think Pacquiao drew, you know, like 51,000 fans, give or take. I think if Errol Spence can get 40 or more in the building, that is unbelievable.
All right, my hope, because I know all the Tolos out there are always invested in what we're doing here. So we're going to go support Errol Spence.
Right.
All right, so 40,000 Tolos show up, and that means the rest of the country can bring the rest to fill up the rest of the stadium. So there you go, Kevin. 150,000 people to watch this boxing match.
Okay, that'd be great, and you would have to send some people away. But I'm saying, like, Canelo had 51,000. Pacquiao had about the same, maybe a little bit less. Errol Spence is still making his way up the ladder to get to that point. Even if it's just the 40,000 Tolos, because he is our guy, and nobody else, I think that that's a huge statement, especially since they're headlining the pay-per-view. Because I've heard some people are like, will the stadium look empty? No, there'll be 40,000 people there. They'll be like, that's a lot of damn people.
Yeah, I want it to really be 40,000 Tolos, too. I don't want like a bunch of people to be there and just take credit for them when they're not actually fans of ours. Because I know if they show up, they're going to be Tolos. So I don't want to be like other people.
You need to check this out, too, because it's going to be March 16th. So you could just carry your partying over.
Oh.
Because by y'all's logic, once it's past midnight, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Or 17th.
Right.
So I argue that you just start the parade in downtown Arlington then after the fight's over.
And then go all the way down to White Rock Lake, and it'll be awesome, man.
Hey.
That'll be great.
You could do that, except for, of course, with all the green whiskey and beer that you've consumed at that point, I don't know if it's going to make it that far.
Oh, it's going to be. It'll make
take
it.
Take an Uber or Lyft or whatever.
Yeah, Uber, Lyft. Be safe while you're out there. All right,
so jump on a parade float.
I saw this from Sean Sharif a little earlier today, and he said he gave his three reasons of why he wants Dez to succeed with the New Orleans Saints.
Nope.
One of them, Kevin, and I really liked this reason because he wanted Sean Payton to march out of New Orleans after winning a Super Bowl and come to Dallas and take over and rebuild this team. So that was a really smart reason. He also pointed out, like, which we've discussed a number of times, it's going to cost you a draft pick because he still has a contract. But that's one of his reasons why he wants them to succeed. And he wants to prove this staff and front office wrong for cutting him and prove his doubters wrong who said he had zero left in the tank. All right. 877-881-1053. Do you want to see Dez Bryant succeed with the New Orleans Saints? Yes or no? My other question to this is, if Dez is successful with the Saints, will that implore Jerry to say, you know what, Scott? You were wrong about him. And we have to move on from you now. Because Jason Garrett was one of the last people in the building to say okay about letting Dez Bryant go. Jason Garrett wanted to keep him. And Scott Linehan was at the forefront of that thing. Because at the end of the season, Dez Bryant said, this offense is awful. And we all kind of discussed it too. And we're like, man, there are some problems here. But if he goes and he can work well with another team, another quarterback, another coach, does that mean to you that, hey, something else, we finally found the thing that doesn't work here?
I say no. Like, I understand why you asked that question, but I say no just because there's more than enough evidence and the Cowboys choose to ignore
evidence.
So, like, you make a compelling...
You're working within the parameters of what the Cowboys are structured.
You make a compelling logical argument, but I think that the Cowboys have thrown logic out the window a couple of times when it comes to various aspects of this coaching staff. Now, as far as Dez goes, no, I'm not cheering for him. Why? Because he doesn't play for our team anymore. Another reason why? Because I think he kind of half-assed it at times here in Dallas. Because you look at it, he was not productive after he got paid. Was it because of a variety of reasons? Fair enough. I'm not saying it's all his fault, but I definitely think there were times where I got frustrated because he was dehydrated or he was hurt. And all these problems cropped up after he got paid. And that's frustrating. And I think that that is problematic for the development of this team. And so I don't think he left on the best terms. I think he still had a great career here. But I think there might have been some times towards the end here where he dogged it a little bit. I'm not going to cheer for somebody like that who now has a better opportunity. But the more basic reason to it all, and I'm sure people will disagree with me about that first part, but the more basic of it all is he doesn't play here anymore. I don't think he's some beloved Cowboy that achieved all of these things. We didn't win jack with him here. Now, was that kind of out of our control when the referee screwed us over that 1 year? Sure. But he was here for a lot of other years. We won nothing when he was here. So the people acting like he's some beloved, never-to-be-forgotten Cowboy, I think is preposterous. And we're going to play him in a few weeks, so of course I'm not going to cheer for him.
I'm going to cheer for him, and the reason why is he's part
you're
of...
soft.
No, it's not. What?
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
You're soft when it comes to emotions on players, which is interesting because you're not soft on anything else besides dogs.
Actually, it's because the... Man, I hate you so
You
much
were prepared for that, were you?
I hate you so much right now.
You were prepared for that, were you?
It's because of the ineptitude of the coaching staff that led him down the wrong path that ended up where he was just at the point where he didn't care anymore and he had a lot of football passion and he just didn't get back out there and try, like you said, because he looked at the crap, the same thing that Jason Witten looked at when he's like, you know what? Never mind.
I'm going to retire and get fake hair.
I'm out. I'll go do something I'm not as good at, but just be happier with. Mm-hmm. And you look at that and you see the coaching staff that did that, that's still here, and I just want Jerry to see one more time. I know you said there's enough reasons to look at the coaching staff and look, and Jerry should be looking at this going, this isn't going to work, but I want him to see, look, when you give somebody with a football mind this type of attributes and where he's just high points the ball and that's what he's good at, or and he doesn't have to be open, just throw him the ball and you throw him at the right spots and learn how to put him into the offense, and this coaching staff had him for so long and couldn't effing figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to see what happens when somebody else with a football mind and with the ability to gamble a little bit and some cojones gets a hold of a player like that and uses him correctly.
I think that's kind of my biggest point right there is, Kevin, we agreed that Dez didn't quite have all the burst and all the same things that we saw before.
Sure.
And what year did he get his contract? Do you remember?
It was 4-15.
Okay, so in 2015, the year before, he had 16 touchdowns, most he'd ever had in his career. And then he had 3, 8, and 6 beyond that. And two of those seasons were with Dak. One season was with, you know, all the quarterbacks and whatever.
And Hurt Romo.
Yeah. So he suffered, I'm going to say, from differential quarterback play in a couple seasons there. But he wasn't healthy either. He didn't play. He played 9 games in 15. He played 13 games in 16, and he played 16 last year.
And how many games did he play before he got paid? Pretty much all of them, right?
In 11 and 12, he played 13 and 14. And then 13 and 14, he played 16 total each game, each year.
Leading into the contract, which
which is how athletes are, man.
And it might just be because he got older, but that's part of the frustration.
And you could blame the Cowboys for saying, you know what, instead of, because as he was, 26? That's a smart move to sign him at 26 years old.
Oh, I had no problem with the contract when he signed it, for sure.
So, they expected that they would continue to get progress out of him. But Colby's right. This is a coach in Sean Payton that uses Mark Ingram not as just a runner, but an elite runner who's their second runner. And then says, you know what? Even if he's in the backfield, we're going to throw to him too. It doesn't matter who's on the field. You're probably going to get the ball. Just be ready. Alvin Kamara is as good of a receiver as he is a running back. Everybody on that team's got to do all the things on that field. Well, one of the things that we kept pointing out is, man, why don't they just use Dez as a tight end? Line him up and as a big-bodied tight end, get short yardage out of him. Don't send him out on a 20-yard dig. That's a ridiculous. Why are you sending him out on a 20-yard route whenever all you really need is 15 yards? All you need is 10 yards to get a first down. Use that. Use his body. And what's going to happen, and you're going to see it, is that Dez Bryant is going to become a specialist for this offense. He's going to be a guy in the red zone. He's going to be a key. And you know what? He's going to become a distraction so Kamara can be more open. And I think that they will use him. They will find things that he can do well, and they will say, hey, we're going to utilize you in a great way. And the Cowboys offense said, hey, we need you to do this.
Regardless of if that's what you're good at, which is...
And that's the problem. And Colby's right. The Cowboys, something has to open Jerry's eyes to say, what I have here is wrong.
I just don't think this is what it is.
Really?
I agree. Well, I mean, think about it.
But he loved Dez,
but
Kevin.
He loved DeMarcus Ware. DeMarcus Ware left and won a Super Bowl somewhere else.
But he did the same stuff that he did here. Like, that was a Steven decision, right?
That
was a financial decision.
But I don't think they're going to analyze it like this. I think Jerry is going to say, well, if you remember, when he left, we talked about how we still thought he was a great player. It just wasn't working. I'm not saying that you're wrong about some of those points. Exactly.
He had to be convinced to move on
from
him, though.
So what's going to happen? Is it going to be him saying, oh, man, look at all the mistakes? No, he's just going to go, see, I told you I was right. There's going to be this inflated sense of self, and that's where it's going to end. I don't know what it is about the way that this is, we'll just say, administration has been running that makes you think that the Cowboys see their mistakes and make changes because of it. Like, Dez can go win the Super Bowl. Hell, Dez can be the MVP in the Super Bowl. And I don't think that that makes Jerry go back to Linehan and say, well, you sure F this up. You're fired. I think he's going to go, this is why you should listen to me. And that's going to be the end of it.
Well, that's fascinating.
I can't disagree with you more, Kevin. I can't. Because of what Corey said is they had to convince Jerry. They had to form plans, make out their little pamphlets, and draw their little pie charts and everything else, and go through a meeting and say, Jerry, this is the reason why we need to go ahead and let Dez go. And he's sitting there going, no, I think he's good. I think he's a good player. He's one of my favorite players on the team. It was like they took his shiny toy and said, nope, it's broken, and it can never be fixed. And it goes over somewhere else, and somebody gets out a little bit of glue, and they just put the door back on it, and son of a gun, that transformer works real good, and look at it go.
Yeah,
I would make me so mad if I was Jerry.
Okay, I hope you're right. I hope, look, whatever it takes to make them realize what they're doing is not working. I mean, think about another beloved Cowboy was Troy Aikman. And Troy Aikman talked about, not just this week, but in the past, how things weren't working with the Cowboys. And Stephen Jones even came out and shouted that down. I mean, that's another, if you put Dez in the beloved Cowboy category, then surely Troy Aikman is there. And the owner's son, maybe the guy who runs a lot of this, he shouted it down. I hope that you're right. Whatever it takes to make a change because this ain't working. I just don't see it.
And I guess it'll go back even to like the Johnny decision, right? Is Jerry convinced that Steven was right?
No, because it would have been different here, right?
Because Cleveland sucks.
Yeah. By the way, in case you're going to make your way out to that game, November 29th, Jalen Smith, he already called dibs on swapping jerseys with Dez Bryant.
He was beloved in the locker room, dude. Every teammate has said, hey, man, congratulations.
Okay.
They wouldn't do that if they didn't love the guy.
Well.
Did Sean Lee say that?
Well, Sean Lee doesn't have Twitter. You know,
is he around the team facility?
That would screw up his ability to watch film.
He's hurt again.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.